The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
A moratorium is now in place on crypto mining in North Tonawanda. The Common Council voted to approve the two-year moratorium last night in response to resident complaints over a current operation. According to WIVB, noise complaints have been rampant from residents living near the crypto mining operation DigiHost. Some have been calling on the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to cancel the company's permits. Amidst great fanfare, a new pedestrian bridge is now at its future home of Ralph Wilson Park. The 266-foot bridge arrived Tuesday after its lengthy trip down the Erie Canal and brought an array of dignitaries to the former LaSalle Park. Assemblymember John Rivera sees the park playing a transformational role in the neighborhood.
It's an amazing thing, something I probably would have never thought. I'd be able to look at this park, the park I grew up in, and say this is going to be the best park in the city, possibly the best park in the county, possibly the best park in this part of the state. It's an incredible thing to see.
Once installed, the new bridge will carry pedestrians across the I-190. It's expected to be open to the public in the spring of 2026. And the leader of the State University of New York will be making the rounds at local campuses starting today. SUNY Chancellor John King will be at the University of Buffalo this afternoon for a roundtable discussion on artificial intelligence and a tour of the university's National AI Institute for Exceptional Education. Later, King will visit SUNY Fredonia for the annual NASA Globe Conference. Tomorrow morning, the chancellor will be on hand at Buffalo State University for new student orientation. Buffalo police are launching a new initiative to solve unsolved homicides. As part of the effort, Police Commissioner Joseph Grimaglia says billboards and social media videos will feature family members of victims in cold cases.
We're going to look at some of those cases where we have information and we just need something to put it over the top, and we're going to look at some where we need to kickstart a case. It can go both ways. You've got some where so much time has passed that people aren't afraid to speak up, or you know, that they are more willing to speak up.
At a cost of $1,200, a new billboard will spotlight Jasmine Fombi, the 14-year-old who was killed by gunfire in May. The funding, police say, comes from money earned from asset forfeiture. Officials in Olean are asking residents to cut down on water usage during heavy rains. The announcement comes after two storms this year caused Olean's wastewater treatment plant to overflow, discharging hundreds of thousands of gallons into the Allegheny River. The Seneca Nation has filed a notice of claim against Olean due to the spills, allowing the nation to sue the city at a later date. A large portion of the Allegheny River flows through the Seneca Nation's Allegheny territory. And leadership changes are coming to the Buffalo Philharmonic Chorus as the organization welcomes a new board president and the executive director departs. Effective July 1st, Dr. Stephen Edge will take over as president of the board of directors. The organization's first executive director, Dr. Madeline Hartz, is leaving effective July 5th to pursue a professorship in vocal arts.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
A torrential downpour hit Toronto on Tuesday, with about 4 inches of rain pouring onto the city, cutting electricity, flooding basements, and stranding motorists. As correspondent Dan Karpachuk reports, the city experienced more than a month's rain in just 3 hours.
Many describe the event as something they would see in a hurricane. Pictures and video show the extent of the flooding in Toronto's downtown. Major roads like the Don Valley Parkway closed and vehicles abandoned, some even submerged. More than a dozen people had to be rescued. In other locations, people wading through ankle-deep water at Union Station, Toronto's major transit hub. Many stores inside Union Station were also flooded. Mayor Olivia Chow says the severity of the rainfall was surprising, but the cleanup is underway.
And I do want to talk a bit about climate change. It's real. We are expecting sort of almost doubling the number of severe rainstorm days in 15 years. So we have to redouble our effort to have mitigating actions because we have to do more prevention work.
Toronto was hit by 3 thunderstorms in 3 hours, bringing 25% more rainfall in that time than the city would normally get in the entire month of July. The storm also surpassed the previous July 16th rainfall record documented in 1941. Some experts say Toronto's infrastructure cannot withstand this kind of intense rain, and these types of events will become more likely in the future, increasing in frequency and severity, all attributed to climate change. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.